Honestly, God,
oh, hi,
we
everyone.
Should do a podcast just of our pre-show talk. It's like 3 minutes
just
of
like
bearing
anything
souls.
Could happen.
Oh, my God.
Anything could happen. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, the show where I feel confident that we're not going to make today make sense. I'm just throwing it out there.
It will absolutely
anything
not make
could
sense
happen.
Today. Oh, my goodness. There's a lot
Bridget
going on, people.
Is
there's a lot going on.
Panicking right now.
I'm sure she is. There are so many slacks. I can't even look at them now. I'm Kai Ryssdal, for those of you who are not familiar, number one. Number two, it's Happy Hour Friday, Economics on Tap, for those of you who are not familiar. Live stream is up and running. We got the YouTube. We got the Discord. We're glad you're here because, frankly, I think we need some company today. That's all I'm saying.
We do need some company to keep us on the straight and narrow.
That's right.
Believe that Garrison78 in the Discord has already won today's Economics on Tap Happy Hour with his bourbon, cream, and coffee.
Ooh.
Which sounds amazing. Right. Yeah. That might have just been a suggestion. But doesn't that sound so good? I went a little bit old school. I just brought bourbon. Speaking of which,
well, that's,
bourbon.
Because
it's fall now.
Hollywood.
If summer it's is tequila season, it's officially fall. So that must mean move to the brown liquor, even though it's still 90 in here.
I don't hate that. I'm having a Stone Delicious IPA, which I found in the fridge. And also Greg Cook is in the chat somewhere. So Greg, welcome, the founder and former CEO of Stone Brewing. You'd be disappointed to know that this has been in the back of the fridge for like 6 months. And I know you're a big guy and drinking fresh beer, but...
Is it quite skunky?
Tasty. No, not at all. Not at all. It's quite tasty. Quite tasty. I haven't had one.
I recently discovered that if you leave White Claw in your downstairs fridge for like 6 months or something because somebody brings it over for a party and then you open it and it's supposed to taste like mango, it actually tastes like garlic.
Ew.
Yeah, I was like, what's wrong with the mango flavor? And then my sister-in-law tried it and she was like, White Claw goes bad. And I'm like, oh, good to know.
How can it go bad? Gross. It's sealed in a can.
That's what I thought, but apparently it does because I'm sure it's not supposed to taste like that.
All right, we got things to do. Should we move on?
We probably should do the news now. Yes.
Okay.
We've got some news. We've got some half full, half empty.
Yep.
Most importantly, we have bourbon. Let's go.
Yes.
I was going to pick your top story, so just start with that, because
Okay. So, I was actually going to go quickly through this one and just point out that our cryptocurrency future is not here today because China has banned all transactions and more environmentally sound has banned all cryptocurrency mining, which you will hear, I'm sure, at some point in Molly Woods' soon-to-be Peabody-winning podcast episodes, that it's environmentally terrible. Terrible.
Yep, it is.
Terrible Bitcoin mining. Energy suck and all this jazz. So that's my headline. If you want to add something to that, you go, because you're more versed in this than I am.
No, I mean, I am endlessly fascinated watching China put its entire tech industry back in its place, up to and including cryptocurrency, because China is launching its own digital currency. And cryptocurrency it kicked a bunch of mining out of Mongolia, where it was using coal and then just contributing disastrously to emissions there. But also China saying, we're launching our own digital currency, which we can use to have complete transparency into what everybody is buying. And so no, we're not going to let people use cryptocurrency where we have no transparency into what anybody's doing and they bypass the central bank completely. And I wonder if it's going to give permission to regimes that are ostensibly less repressive, but who also don't want people using a decentralized currency that could undermine their central financial systems.
Yeah, there was a great quote from Gary Gensler, the head of the Securities and Exchange Commission. He said, you can't have 6,000 private currencies. You can't, So we'll see where this goes.
Someone texted me today and was like, this cryptocurrency situation is out of control. And I sent him back a news article about a Oregon football player who's launching a cryptocurrency. And I was like, what do you mean? What could go wrong?
I saw that. What could possibly go wrong? Yeah.
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, that's my main news item. What it's turned into my main news item because you gave me the backup. Remind me to tell you about my brother and physics class my senior year of high school, but we don't have time today. Number two, and this one's just for you. Did you see the other day that some of the original creators of some of the Marvel characters – filed a notice of termination of copyright with Disney, saying that these guys, who are mostly now old because these characters were created forever ago, they actually own at least part of the copyright. Disney sued back today and said, no, 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 the bajillions of dollars are ours. And I just think that's an interesting copyright fight to be had. And I mentioned it because you are a Marvel Universe person. That's, you know, and of course they did, right?
Kind of an intellectual property nerd.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, are you?
Of course they were. Disney is the reason that we have such long copyright terms. Yeah, I used to own a website called cultureofownership.org where I would post about copyright and intellectual property and trademark overreach. The levels of my nerdery have yet to be plumbed, my friend.
Wow. No joke.
I love this stuff. Disney is the reason that we have such a long copyright term. Like, it's 70 years. You know, it's like the life of the creator plus 70 years, and that's all about Disney wanting to keep copyright on its characters forever. So of course they're like, oh no, we will own all of it, even if we didn't create it.
Wow.
I mean, the chutzpah.
So the chutzpah, yes. And I'm going to bail on my third one because it just takes us sideways. So you go ahead.
Okay. Although that was dishy.
Super quick.
Actually, because this is really important.
So it is kind of important. President Biden has decided that he is not going to claim executive privilege for the documents that the House January 6th committee wants or other investigators want. President Biden will not claim executive privilege on President Trump's behalf. The current sitting president gets a big say in how executive privilege is exercised, and President Biden's going to give access to those documents to the investigators. President Trump will, of course, sue. But this issue has not been previously litigated because prior presidents have all said, oh, yeah, we're going to take care of the 44, 43, 42 people who went before us. Biden is saying, no, 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 we're not. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah. That is a big deal.
So we'll find out some stuff. We'll find out some stuff.
It's going to take a minute, but we're going to find it out.
Yeah.
For sure. In sort of hollowed out shell Friday news, I wanted to, there's been a raft of reporting in the New York Times is now matching. I would have linked to the Washington Post story, but I can't figure out my subscription situation. It doesn't transfer from my iPhone, so I had to go New York Times on this one. Okay. I'm just, technologically this week, I'm like a hot mess.
It's been tough for you. It's been super tough.
But I love Claire Kane Miller at the Upshot, and so I was very happy to see that she also took on this story about how childcare providers are losing employees in droves, and then private childcare is not available for parents, which is hindering the ability of mostly mothers to go back to work because in large part the childcare is like one of the lowest paying jobs. I mean, it just is like $12 an hour tops, and then on top of that you have to put yourself in danger, at least right now when younger kids are not vaccinated. And so all of these childcare facilities, and by the way, we don't have universal childcare where we would probably just set like some sort of a floor for salaries. And so people are like, no, we're not going to do this work anymore. And so then people, it's just this sort of like snowball effect where women can't go back to work. And it damages the entire economy. And a lot of that is in that $3.5 trillion infrastructure bill that I guess is going to get held up because of fossil fuels and pharmaceuticals. So yay for that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
All right.
It's just like a this thing is about this thing is about this thing.
Yeah.
Kind of story.
Yeah.
Six, totally. In other news, six United employees out of United's total of 74,000 have filed a lawsuit asking a federal court to block United's vaccine requirement, which is set to take effect on Monday. The employees include two pilots and a flight attendant, and they are accusing the airline of a pattern of discrimination against employees who requested religious or medical accommodations. I heard about this morning because United apparently had said if you request a religious exemption, you'll be, I think, put on leave without pay.
That is correct.
Maybe while they investigate it or something.
Yep, that's correct.
Yeah. It is hard at this point to see these kinds of
US
things.
Employees. Yeah. Yeah. No. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. I was just going to say it's hard to see these at some point as being in good faith. And if you're part of six employees out of 74,000 who are saying we're not going to do this, and we're willing to put like half of the world at risk as a result because we fly all around the world.
Because that's what we do.
Right? Like, yeah. I have to question. Yeah. I just have to question that.
Yeah.
And then finally, before we turn to our fun game, one last giant bummer. It is the last day of Climate Week, which means that there's been, like, obviously extra, even more climate. Yep. UN Climate Week has been happening.
I did not. Okay, this is.
That's why we dropped the. That's why we dropped the How We Survived trailer this week, because it's like a news peg.
I was wondering
for Climate Week.
Okay, sorry.
You didn't have a whole Climate Week slate of coverage on your show.
No, I didn't. I didn't know. No, sorry.
Peanut, you should let me run that thing. It's kind of a big business story. So it turns out. That there is from justcapital.com research out today looking at the kind of top 1,000 companies and finding that only 42.8% of the Russell 1000 companies have disclosed a commitment to reducing emissions. Only 10.6% of those companies disclosed a net zero commitment by 2050. And only 6.7 of company committees met the 1.5 degree scenario, which would basically be like the company version of agreeing to the Paris Climate Accords. Even though, like, listen, all your younger employees want this. All of them.
Yeah, that's the thing. They all do. It's
they
so
want you
big
to do this.
Among the youths, as it were. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They all do. Huh.
Yeah. Yep. So what was it? What was the phrase the other day? High risk of failure.
High risk of
humanity.
Don't say that here. Don't say that here.
Right. Yep. No, we don't talk about that anymore.
Okay. All right.
Should we play a game?
Yes. Let us play a game. Half full, half empty is the name of the game. Our predictions on various topics. I'm not sure they're predictions. I think they're just value judgments, to be more accurate. Right? It's
yeah.
like how we feel.
Yeah.
It's not what
I
we think
that's
is
fair.
Happen, right?
It's like our opinions.
Yeah. That's right. Our opinions. Mm-hmm. Drew Jostedt
Feelings?
Is our host. That's right. Our random thoughts on a Friday afternoon after a long week. The weeks get longer and longer and longer around here, man. I'm telling
Don't they?
You. Drew.
Help us.
Are you half full or half empty on the Fed taper?
Oh, good grief. Seriously? Bridget,
Don't
we
call
want
it
the
a
Fed taper.
Taper?
What? I can't
know.
Even.
Wow.
Oh, God. Okay. So super quick for those who don't follow. And don't listen to Marketplace. Number one, why not? Number two, the Federal Reserve has been buying $120 billion worth of treasury bonds and mortgage-backed securities since basically the first days of the pandemic. That has artificially suppressed interest rates, kept many parts of this economy going as a result. And now, with the economy reasonably healthy, parenthetically, that's not entirely true. There are parts of it that are deeply mm-hmm. broken. Close parentheses.
Moms but can't go back to work because childcare.
Moms can't go back to work, as we were just talking about. Anyway, so the Fed is going to start, perhaps as early as its next meeting, which is November 2nd and 3rd, it's going to announce that it's going to start tapering off that $120 billion a month. Doesn't mean they're going to stop. It means they're going to buy $115 billion or $100 billion or whatever. So that's the big deal. The markets, of course, will go, oh my God, you're killing us. And there will be a little bit of a taper tantrum. That's what you need to know to understand my answer to this question. I'm just half freaking empty on this thing. The Fed has been catering to Wall Street for a very long time, which in a way I understand, but it's time for the Fed to get out of the business of buying all these bonds. So half empty. I guess I'm
so
half
wait,
full
but
on
does
the
that
paper,
mean you're
half
empty on it happening because you think the tantrum is going to work?
No, it's definitely going to happen. It is going to happen. Powell's backed himself into a corner. I guess I'm half full on it happening. And I'm half empty on dealing with it because it's
got it. It's going to be kind of an
it's like a tech reporter having to deal with tantrum. Like Apple all the time or something. Yeah. You know.
Yes, totally. Oh, there's another iPhone event. Yay.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I am, I guess I'm a little bit half full because, yes, I agree with you that I think it's going to happen. And it is possible that this sort of, I think we have seen and will continue to explore the kind of like perverse incentives that all of this extra money sloshing around has enabled. So I'm sort of half full on us, like, just like maybe just give money to people and households and, you know, starving kids in the United States instead of companies to buy their own stock. Sounds great.
Fair enough. Drew, continue.
Half full or half empty on a vinyl record revival.
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Are we like 2 years too late on this trend story?
I think so. Right?
Yeah.
I think so.
I think people like to buy it, but only like 2 out of 10 of those people like to actually play the vinyl. So half empty.
So my now 17-year-old son got from his 3 siblings a record player, actually, for his most recent birthday. And there were 3 vinyl albums that came with it. And he was like, oh, yeah, this is so cool. And I'm definitely going to buy vinyl. And it's going to be amazing. It's literally gathering dust in his bedroom. So I'm not buying it.
We have the same. I bought son a super cool record player with Bluetooth and some really nice speakers for all of his vinyl. And now it sits downstairs in my kind of like mid-century family room. And it looks great.
It looks really cool. It's a style
and
item.
No one ever touches it. Sure. I think I saw a spider on one of those records the other day.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, half empty.
Half empty. If we're doing a story on it, it's over.
Yeah.
I mean that with love.
Well, I mean, I guess it has been going on for a while, but they were up 94% year over year. Still, it's still going up.
Oh, my God. But 94% from what to what, right?
Well, Kristen had this story on the Morning Report, apparently, this week.
I heard it, and they said they outsold CDs. Records outsold CDs for the first time since 1985 or something hilarious like that. I don't know. You know what? It's true. Never underestimate a hipster. I'm changing my vote. Half full.
Whoa. I'm sticking
They're
my
They're committed. Guns. Hipsters are committed.
I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care.
Let's go on to the New York City food delivery worker protections.
Oh, yeah. So yesterday, New York City, the first big city in the country to do this, passed delivery worker protections for app-based workers that apply to the companies and also to the restaurants, things like hours and bathroom breaks and all that jazz. Half full. Totally half full.
So full. So half full. Yep. Yeah. This cannot be the future of labor. And I'm happy to see labor rising up and saying like, nah, this is not how people need to be working.
Yep.
Yep. All the way full. Discord agrees. Yep.
All right. Yeah,
so does the YouTube.
Half full or half empty on the new emojis.
I have a question, actually, before we get into the discussion, actually, on the substance. So I was listening to Marielle sitting in for you on tech this morning. And she said, in referencing it as a plural, she said, there are many emoji. And my brain said, wait a minute, isn't it emojis?
That's what I would have thought. And when you do like a quick duck duck, Marketplace is the only one that is using emoji in the in the singular to represent the plural. However, though, it's because Marielle talked to that guy, what's his name? Hold on. Unicode guy, Jeremy Burge, who I've talked to a couple times. Yeah. The chief emoji officer for Emojipedia, which is like the encyclopedia.
Right. They get to decide.
So I sort of feel like he's probably the guy to believe on the plural question, but I sort of wish that had been at the show because it is kind of hilarious.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, I'm always excited about more emoji. I didn't hear anything like problematic about it.
No,
there's beans now or something. So,
yeah,
that's great.
Yep.
Yay, beans. I'm half full on bean emojis.
Okay, nobody cares about that one. All right.
I know, totally. Wah, wah.
I guess they are pictures on our phones. Okay. Half full or half empty on the new Space Force uniforms.
Oh,
I saw those. Terrible. Empty. All the way empty. Jesus.
Hold on. I'm looking them up just so I can.
Oh, it's terrible.
They're kind of, they're Battlestar Galactica-y.
Yeah, Battlestar Galactica.
They're causing
Star Trek,
a stir.
Yeah. Yeah, they're
the last ones were Star Trek and now it's Battlestar Galactica. At least we're moving forward in time.
It's all just terrible.
That is hilarious.
I'm also the guy who wants the Navy to go back. In fact, they have actually go back to service dress khaki, but that's me. Never mind. Just a little bit of jealousy.
I think these are unnecessarily throwbacky. So
That's a very good way to do it. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, I don't understand the like why does it have to be the kind of the crossover, the asymmetrical thing.
Yep.
It is very Battlestar Galactica, which makes me want to like it. But instead, I'm going to say they're weirdly old-fashioned and I don't care for it. Half empty.
Fair. Boom. Oh, my goodness. Well, there we go.
Well done, Drew. Good co-starring.
Holy cow. Good stuff. Awesome, awesome, awesome. That is it for us today, as regular listeners will know by the music. If you've got to make me smile, by the way, or if you want to share something that made you smile, send it to us, would you? Because honestly, sometimes it's hard to find one after a long day of doing stuff.
We get a little in our heads. We get in our own heads about...
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do.
The news sometimes. But also it's just sort of fun to sort of be like, you know, thanks, Bob, for the Make Me Smile. So send those. Also send your questions or your answers to the Make Me Smart question. You might have. MakeMeSmart@marketplace.org. We accept emails and voice memos.
Okay, Bridget, don't kill me. So, we should just do it like a one day Molly and I don't show up and we just have random listener guest hosts. Sorry. Because they're going to send us a Make Me Smile. They're going to send us a Make Me Smart question. And here they are today, Joe and
they're
Sally.
They're already doing all the
doing
work.
The show. That's right.
Why did we not think of that as a fundraising premium?
I don't know.
Because, hello.
Oh, my God.
It's like a school auction, man. Pay a certain amount and you can host the show. You can, in this hot-ass garage.
Terrifying.
You could call us 508-827-6278. 508-UB-SMART. Before we hit the music, we have a special thanks to a guy who has been behind the scenes and super instrumental, Brian Ronigan. Today is his last day at Marketplace, and behind the scenes, he was our director of product. And the reason it's super relevant to you, Make Me Smart audience, is because if you ever have been one of the people who says, Make Me Smart, you should know that Brian built that. He built that smart speaker skill.
Literally did.
Like, no one
literally
was doing that. He just was sitting there in Amazon's, you know, documentation, figuring out how to make the skill and testing it and demoing it. And it was this, like, it was a really big deal for us. Also, he's just a great guy. I've hung out with him at Star Wars parties. Like, he's just a cool, fun, fantastic person.
Super cool dude. The really interesting part about Brian, there are two of them actually. One is that he started at Marketplace as an intern with me in the newsroom. Gotta
Ron
be
Ahan.
10, 12, 14 years ago. Yeah,
also,
Ron
I said Ahan. His name wrong because we never talk about him on the radio because behind the scenes.
That's right.
Ron He's behind Ahan. The
scenes. Anyway, started as an intern in the newsroom, left, learned to code, acquired a bunch of skills, and came back and leaves as our director of product. He also, let me just tell you, can write a goodbye letter like nobody.
Yep.
Like
he wrote
nobody.
Probably the best goodbye letter
best.
I have ever seen anyone
ever.
Write. Bravo, ever. Brian. Bravo. And apparently, Satara Nieves is reporting in Slack that she also called him Ronigan for 4 years. And then after four years, because that's how nice he is, he finally corrected her. Brian Ronahan. Hell of a goodbye, buddy. Hell
bigger
of a
and better
goodbye.
Things. Hell of a goodbye.
You nailed it.
Hat is off.
You nailed it,
Hat
friend.
Hat is off, as it were. Yeah.
Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Today's episode was engineered by Drew Jostad. And our co-star on Half Full, Half Empty, the senior producer, is Bridget Bodner.
The team behind the YouTube live stream and our game, Half Full, Half Empty, is Stephen Bion, Catherine Devine, Emily McCune, and Mel Rosenberg. The theme music for Half Full, Half Empty was written by Drew Jostad, who just does everything around here, clearly. The executive director... God, Kai, Jesus, will you? The executive director of On Demand is Tar Nieves. God.
Was
it's
it
like
half
my
a
mother
beer?
Tongue.
Did you have half of the
my
beer?
My whole... I've literally had like three quarters of a beer, and I can't even anymore.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Jerez, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.